Well, it's been a few weeks or months since our last episode, but we're back. I've been extremely busy at work, so a lot of my attention has gone in that direction. In our last episode, we went over some of the very basics of report writing, mostly along the lines of information gathering. In this episode, we're going to go over some standard phrasing I like to use in my reports and ways to show the reader that crimes have been committed, based upon California laws, of course. Stay tuned, and we'll get started right after this quick sponsor break. I'm Robbie Weidman, and this is The Guard Shack. All right, we're back, and let's start out with Section 1, and we're going to be talking about some phrasing. Let's start with some of the basic wording. Too many times I've seen an officer put, "He looked drunk," or "He tried to hit me." Let's reword those two phrases into appropriate sentences for use in a well-written report. Instead of saying, "He looked drunk," a more appropriate phrasing would be, "After observing the subject and based upon my training and experience, I believed him to be under the influence of alcohol." Instead of, "He tried to hit me," you would write something to the effect of, "The suspect took a bladed-fighted stance, balled both hands into fists, and attempted to strike the left side of my face with his closed right fist." That phrasing also builds and shows the required elements for the crime of 240 PC assault. Now let's move on to Section 2, showing the elements of the crime. Speaking of building elements, let's talk about describing a scene to show a crime had been committed. Let's take, for instance, the crime of 459 PC, burglary. First, we need to know the elements of burglary in California. They are as follows. Every person who enters a house, room, apartment, tenement, shop, warehouse, store, mill, barn, stable, outhouse, or other building, tent, vessel, as defined in Section 21 of the Harbors and Navigation Code, floating home, as defined in Subdivision D of Section 18075.55 of the Health and Safety Code, railroad car, locked or sealed cargo container, whether or not mounted on a vehicle, trailer coach, as defined in Section 635 of the Vehicle Code, any house car, as defined in Section 362 of the Vehicle Code, inhabited camper, as defined in Section 243 of the Vehicle Code, vehicle as defined by the Vehicle Code when the doors are locked, aircraft as defined by Section 21012 of the Public Utilities Code, or mined or any underground portion thereof, with intent to commit grand or petty larceny or any felony. To summarize that, basically, if you go into any occupied and or locked dwelling or vehicle, you're committing this crime if you go in with the intent to commit grand or petty theft or any felony. So now that we know the definition of burglary, let's build it into a sentence which shows the suspect was committing burglary versus simple theft. For the sake of time, let's assume this takes place at an office building at 2300 hours. Here we go. Section 1. I approached the main entrance and could see the glass entry door had been broken. On the other side of that door frame was a red brick surrounded by broken glass from the door. The brick was approximately 5 feet inside the building from the door. I checked the door and found it was still locked. I made entry through the broken door where the glass was missing. Section 2. The building was dark with only exterior lighting and exit lighting having been on. In the south hallway from the main lobby, I could hear a male voice but could not understand what he was saying. I could also see occasional flashes of light from the hallway, which were consistent with someone moving a flashlight around. Section 3. I walked down the south hall to the office number 205. The door to that office was ajar, and I could see the door frame appeared to be split vertically from the door latch, and a section of the broken door frame was hanging from a small piece still attached at the top of the frame. However, the rest of that piece was swinging free and held to the door latch. I believe the above-mentioned damage allowed the door to be open, as the door is automatically locked via computer-controlled magnets at 2200 hours daily. It should be noted, I could also see what appeared to be a dark brown or black shoe print on the hallway side of the office door near the hallway side door handle. Section 4. As I entered the office, I could see the suspect, later identified as John Jones, standing at the only desk in the waiting area of that office. The suspect appeared to be talking to himself, very fidgety, and I could see he was removing items from the top drawers of that desk with his right hand and placing them in a large military-style duffel bag, which was on the floor, while holding a flashlight in his left hand. And now, yes, I realize that this might seem like a bit much here, but like I've said before, you need to write your reports like you're going to court. Now, in section one, I described the scene mostly. I not only build the fact that entry was forced, as in the broken glass door, the circumstantially important brick, door still closed, all that, but show an additional act of vandalism has taken place. In section two, I again described essentially the setting of the building, drawing attention to the fact that the lights were off. Generally, if someone is not up to no good, the lights are on. If they're being sneaky, people generally tend to use the cover of darkness to their favor. I mentioned the potential use of a flashlight by the suspect, as at times a flashlight could easily be determined to be a burglary tool, which is another crime. Now, in section 3, I went into detail about the forced entry of the door to the secondary office. Again, we are showing vandalism and forced entry. Entry is the first part of burglary, so we are more than well covered here. And by showing that entry was forceful, aka purposeful, there is no legitimate way for a suspect to argue they got into the building on purpose or not on purpose, especially in this case where the doors automatically lock after a certain time and all that. In section 4, we get into the meat and potatoes of the crime. We find our suspect, who we have reasonable suspicion to believe has forced entry through two different doors. We describe his actions to show he may be on edge, or most likely on drugs, to show he may be anxious about getting caught. It's not our place usually to speculate or provide opinion, just facts, basically our observations. We show he is the one in possession of and using the flashlight, aka a burglary tool, and then ultimately show that he is committing some kind of theft, which completes the element for either grand or petty theft or any felony. Now let's go into section 3 and talk about describing injuries. As I stated in episode 10, I wanted to take time in this episode to go over how to describe injuries. The first thing we need to understand is the difference between an injury and wound. Is it vital information for your report? Probably not, unless you're also a medical doctor, but information is always good to have. Injury is a general umbrella term we use to describe damage to the body. A wound is generally injuries which break the skin or other body tissues. This includes scrapes, scratches, lacerations, torn skin, and all that other good stuff. Now that we got that basic understanding out of the way, let's go over some different types of appropriate words for injuries and what they mean. Keep in mind, utilizing the appropriate word for the type of injury or wound sustained, coupled with a good description of what it looks like, is a great way for describing injuries. First, let's talk about contusions, most commonly known as bruises, and you should probably refer to them as bruises as it is the more accepted term, and a bruise really only differs in size, shape, and color. But that doesn't change what it is. What it is, simply put, is a mark that usually shows up on the skin after that area skin receives some sort of trauma, and it occurs when the small veins and capillaries under the skin break. On a related note, a hematoma is a collection of blood or pooling of blood outside of a blood vessel but under the skin. So generally, stick with the term bruise or bruising with a good description, size, shape, color, and location, and you'll be good to go. An abrasion is a scrape, which is generally caused by the skin rubbing against a hard or rough surface. There usually is hardly any blood, if any at all, and the area usually needs to be cleaned, but that's about it. Now, a laceration describes a deep cut or tearing of the skin, and these can be caused by numerous things, such as knife slices, paper cuts, and all that kind of good stuff. Bleeding in these cases may be minimal to a lot, depending on where someone is cut. A puncture is usually somewhat of a small hole. It usually is caused by a pointy object such as a pencil, needle, pin, stab wound from a knife, or something like that. These don't always bleed a lot, but can potentially cause significant, if not fatal, internal damage. An avulsion is a nasty wound. It's described as a partial or complete tearing away of skin and the tissue beneath. These are generally found on major accidents. Generally, the bleeding in these cases would be heavy and rapid. Now, in conclusion, I want to say that there is really so much more that can be said about report writing, but in my opinion, one needs to build their style based off of their company needs, as well as the rules of the language, basically English and grammar and spelling. I built my style of writing after learning from multiple deputies I used to work with. I took everything I learned from them and picked which ones worked best for me and essentially came up with a style I use today, which is a style I try to train others in. All right, guys, that's going to be it for today. Thanks again for listening. It feels good to be back after basically being so slammed for the past 2 months, well, I guess 3 months now, that I haven't been able to sit down for an hour or two each week and make an episode. We are still extremely busy at work, so it could potentially be a while. We're dealing right now in California, Northern California, with all these fires up here. We're doing some security stuff, to put it plainly, to keep operational security. But and then we're going to be busy after that. But I'm going to try to be more active here. We've just been very super busy at work. But at that point, once this is all over, I'm hoping to get back on a regular recording and editing schedule. Now, you can find The Guard Shack on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podcast Go, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Breaker, Pocket Casts, and pretty much anywhere else podcasts are found. Feel free to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/GuardShackPC and on Instagram at instagram.com/GuardShackPC. I'll put a link to our YouTube channel in the description, but I'm still trying to find the time to make those videos. I finally got my body armor, so I really want to do a review on it soon, as well as a review on my duty gear, my belt. Email us at guardshackpc@gmail.com and let us know what you want to hear on upcoming episodes. Thanks again for listening. I really appreciate it. Take care of yourselves, and as always, stay safe.